Whew. Amen. When grace came down, Jesus died for sinners. If you will, look at two verses and read them aloud with me on the screen. The first one's Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Read aloud. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. And then Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Verse 32, please. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. On those two verses alone, you'll see the very mission of God through Jesus Christ explained. We begin to see that's the reason for his virgin birth. That's the reason of his incarnation. When grace came down, Jesus became a man. We see that that is for the life that he lived, the ministries that he performed. We see it's the death that he died on the cruel cross of Calvary for you and for me. And we see that he has arisen again and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Someday, as we've just sung about, he's coming again soon. And until then, he's interceding for you and me, his church. And that is the great mission. It was hard for the people to understand in that day and time, just as it is so today. And you'll begin to see in verse 27 of Luke chapter 5, verse 27 gives us a short story that after this, Jesus healing the paralytic, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Now, mind you, Jesus said, you're just the kind of person I'm looking for. Ha! You know as well as I do, tax collectors were known as collaborators. They were hated because of the Roman Empire coming and taxing the people of God, Israel. And then they made money hand over fist, whatever they could get over that required amount for that tax franchise. They were seen as folks that had given in to the Roman Empire. They were crooked. No one trusted them. In any rank and file of the normal culture, they couldn't even participate in the synagogue nor in the court system because they were known for their deceit and for their lying. But Jesus said, you're just the perfect fit. Why in the world would you think that? Because he understood the sin that he had given and performed in his life before a holy God. You say, well, what do you mean he understood that sin? Well, we can see it in verse 28. Notice what it says in the very next verse. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. You say, well, that's a big deal? Sure it is. He left his career. He left his possessions. He left his sinful companions. He left all that he had known in life. He had left his former life. And it said, and then he followed Jesus. That's no minor thing whatsoever in that time or in the time that we live now. And we can see and we can know most understandably that he had a burden for the sin that he had done before God and before people, both vertically and both horizontally. He was convicted of his sin because he got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. Now that is an amazing kind of thing. And he showed evidence of it immediately in verse 28 because verse 28 says he went and he threw a banquet or he threw a party. And who did he invite? The only people that he knew, a bunch of thugs, a bunch of hit men. He came in there and he invited the enforcers, and the scripture says others. Invited probably the prostitute friends and so forth and so on at that day and time. And what happened? Why did he do it? He showed a public display of life change, of new life, because he wanted to, wait for it, introduce his friends to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the babe of the manger, the Christ of the cross, the Lord of all creation, the Lord of lords who's coming back soon is who he wanted to introduce him to. Now flip the coin, if you will, because you'll see in verse 29, the rage of the religious individuals. They were outraged. If you'll recall, they asked his disciples, how in the world could you guys eat with a bunch of sinners? Because you see, just as in today's time, we felt like if you got around sinners too much, they would rub off on you. And so they felt like they had to separate themselves from folks. But notice the contrast here of what Jesus was showing, of what Jesus was doing, and how Jesus was not only giving his life a ransom for many by dying on the cross for your sin, my sin, and for all who will trust in him and repent of their sin, but he was giving a living example. He was showing them he didn't care what the religious thought. He didn't care what other people thought. He showed from his own heart of love and compassion the pathway for all of his disciples and for his church and for all who would take upon the name of Jesus. Jesus intervened in verse 30. You'll notice what he says there. Then Levi, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect. That was verse 30. I'm sorry, verse 31. Thank you, brother. Go up one. There you go. Jesus answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. The example here he's given is by analogy. It's not like, well, after I get well, I'm going to go to the doctor. And some people, maybe even you here today, even say that. After I get my life cleaned up, I'm going to become a Christian. That's kind of the analogy that he's saying here. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And he's kind of giving them an explanation of why he came and who he came for. He came for sinners. Look at verse 32. He gives the example here by his personal authority. He says, I have not come to call the righteous. Can you hear the irony there? The sarcasm. Who's he talking to? The religious leaders. He's talking to the people that feel like they could pave their own way to heaven, of folks that thought they were okay with God, that they were good enough with God, that their good works could get them there, and the life that they were living. Probably folks like you and I and others in the land today that says, you know, I know about God and believe in God. I even believe in Jesus, and, you know, and then I try to live a good life. Surely I'm going to heaven. Maybe not. Maybe that's all you got, a little religion. Jesus was saying that's all the religious leaders had. That was all that Israel had. They had a little ritual, a little perfunctory worship, if you will, checked off the boxes, but no life change, no transformation, no repentance. Did you see that in verse 32? I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's a word that we need to embrace today, that it's okay to take the name that we're sinners. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, of all people, he recollected his life of being angry and bitter, a murderer, throwing people into jail. And he says, I am the most sinner. I am the chief of sinners. And you see, that should be you and I. That should be our response. And you see what it's teaching here. That was the very heart of Levi, we later know as Matthew, who, believe it or not, got to inaugurate the New Testament by writing the first gospel. What a miracle. What a savior. What a mission that God sent Jesus to do and to show us to be his people and to be his church. And so we can see that he had great remorse, he had great sorrow, he had a great burden, he had a great conviction in his life, and he left everything. Perhaps here today, God is asking you, after all these years, however long it may be, to leave everything behind and to put him first, whatever that may look like. But to leave behind your sin, isn't that good? That's what makes us shout. That's what makes us be hopeful. That's what gives us peace. How about leave behind the guilt? Man, I am guilt-possessed sometimes. How about you? But only through Christ Jesus our Lord at the cross can we lay our guilt and serve an audience of one, because he has set us free from our sin and from ourselves and from others. Amen? Leave behind the embarrassment and cry out to him. The Bible kind of pictures it as this: confessing our sin. That's what Levi did. asking forgiveness of his sin. That's what Levi did. But you know, confession and forgiveness aren't the whole deal, is it? The Bible says we must believe with all of our heart. A lot of folks are mistaken about that, aren't they? And then the Bible says we must repent. That means that there should be a difference in the life before Christ and the life after Christ. And it's because we have accepted him into our life as our Lord and Savior. You can only proclaim him Lord as the Holy Spirit of God testifies to the Word of God. And it invades you from the inside out.